Hi, good morning, and thank you all for being here on the last day. I know we've all sat through a lot of these, so I appreciate you all being here this morning. On behalf of myself and my colleagues, Dr. Rohit Ramaswamy, who's here in the audience, Holly Pavlika, and Diane Callison, we are happy over the next 12 minutes or so to present to you factors that have contributed to successful engagement in one of UNC's online discussions in a global distance education program. My colleagues and I have no relationships to disclose. We would, however, like to thank the Gillings family, who has generously supported our program and to whom we are indebted for being here today. The University of North Carolina's Global Learning Program is currently in the pilot phase. It's a two-year pilot phase. It is a non-degree education program intended to enhance the management skills of public health professionals around the world by offering practical, facilitated courses, or learning units, as we're calling them in our pilot in this online non-degree course, through distance education, emphasizing the immediate application of learning to everyday work. We chose in the Global Learning Program to focus on mid-level professionals. These professionals are those who are not necessarily at the country director level within the organization, but are at the program officer level. We determined that this segment of the workforce has limited opportunities for continuing education and thus could stand to benefit most for these online courses. Our program also chose to focus on building management skills. If any of you were at the GHI discussion yesterday afternoon, we heard Joel Lamstein say that it's very easy to find people with strong technical skills in developing countries, and a little bit more difficult to find people with strong management skills, and even harder to find people with managers with knowledge or sensitivities to these technical areas. So our program, the Global Learning Program, responds to this need by building the capacity of the technical staff in management issues, and our learning units cover monitoring and evaluation, community engagement, program management, and also three others that will be developed in the post-pilot phase portion of the program. So I know you all have sat through a lot of these sessions and that it's a lot to handle on Wednesday morning. So if there's anything that you take away from my presentation this morning, it's this, that to date, our program results have shown the program to be very successful, and participants have stated that UNC's Global Learning Program has provided them practical management skills that have led to their improved work performance, personal empowerment, as well as a cross-cultural solution to workforce capacity building. So with that, getting into a bit of our participant demographics, in the pilot phase of the program, we had 55 participants from 10 countries listed here. Their demographics varied a bit from, notably in their English level, ranging from basic English to a more fluency. Their education ranged from just a high school diploma to a professional health-related field at a graduate level. And their employers ranged from international to local NGOs, as well as local ministries of health. In each of the 8-week learning units, participants were required to complete weekly readings, quizzes on their comprehension of those weekly readings, as well as participation in group discussion forums. And successful participants were awarded a completion certificate from UNC. Here are some of our Indian participants with Dr. Ramaswamy at the certificate ceremony. In our presentation today, we're focusing only on one aspect of the program, and that's the discussion forums. These are an important part of our program. They're designed to facilitate and promote cross-country knowledge sharing and joint problem solving amongst global colleagues, which the individual quizzes and readings would not do. In the forums, participants were asked a health-related question based on a case study or their own personal field-level work. Here's a sample question. Participants initially expressed and throughout the program expressed excitement about the opportunity for knowledge sharing fostered through these discussion forums. But as we progressed through the learning units, we found it a challenge to maintain the quality and consistency of the online discussions. And in our attempt to foster the conversation, instructors sent many reminders asking participants to participate. In one of the 8-week learning units, instructors sent 70 reminders asking participants to engage in these forums. Of note, and we're focusing on the participation rates in the discussion forums, not only because of their importance to our program, but also because we didn't experience low participation rates in the individual quizzes and in the completion of the readings. Here's just a graphical representation. Participants were required to respond to, in one learning unit, the program management learning unit, were asked to respond to 7 discussion questions. We saw a wide variation in the number of responses. Some participants responded to many of the questions, but no one completed all of the 7 questions. So why was this? We sought to evaluate why the participation was relatively low in the discussion forums through gathering statistics from our online classroom, which is Blackboard, if some of you have heard of that, as well as telephone interviews. And we conducted face-to-face interviews with some of the participants from Ethiopia. The summary of our findings are presented here, and I'll be going in more in depth of these, but to be brief, we found there to be both supporting and mitigating factors in reasons for why people were participating at different rates in the discussion forums. These are at the personal level, as well as at the organizational and environmental level. So I'll go in to discuss these factors in more depth now. We found that the factors promoting participation were mainly personal factors. Participants stated their value in participating in the learning unit, the relevance of the material to the participant, as well as the value that they placed on peer-to-peer sharing fostered through these discussion forums. So the first factor, the value of participating in the learning unit, overwhelmingly comments from our participants reflected a very positive view of the global learning program. We saw that participants saw value for improving their work performance. They also saw relevance to their future educational plans, as well as they placed an intrinsic value of knowledge and learning. So one participant said, "I believe in learning, learning, learning until the end of my breath." We also saw that participants valued the Global Learning Program. They stated that there were few or no other opportunities for them to study these topics in Ethiopia. So that was another reason for valuing the Global Learning Program. Participants also stated that the material that was presented to them was very relevant to their everyday work. For example, one participant said, "When you see the question in the discussion forum, you'll be eager to answer that question because it's more practical and related with your work. It's related with every day of your activity, so everybody participated due to that." They also placed value on the peer-to-peer sharing that they experienced through the program, both due to the similar background of their fellow participants. All participants were in the development field and in the health with a health background. They also valued peer-to-peer sharing as they stated it facilitated internalization and the learning of the new material presented through the Global Learning Program. So despite these factors for why people wanted to or did participate, we found several factors at the personal, organizational, and environmental levels which prohibited active participation in the program. When we launched the online pilot program, we thought in-country technology would be the largest barrier. And indeed, we actually did find that in Ethiopia, participants had difficulty accessing internet in rural areas if they were perhaps going to the field for a site visit. Even in the city, we found that there was very sporadic internet due to power outages. And even when the internet was working, it was relatively slow. Ultimately, however, we found that internet, surprisingly for our online distance learning course, was not the largest mitigating factor in program participation, and many students identified workaround strategies. For example, they would download their reading materials when the internet was working, and they would draft their discussion posts in a Word document and then upload when the internet was back online. So in our initial phone interviews, we heard that lack of time was a barrier to participation, mainly due to being so busy at work. As we dug a bit deeper, however, we found that that time and being busy at work was perhaps an easy surface-level reason that participants stated for not completing the coursework. For example, one participant said, "I was very burdened with many responsibilities, but I remember one day I spent until 4 a.m. in my computer at home because I was very interested in public health." So everyone was busy, so why did we see the different levels of participation? One major factor was this felt need for perfection before sharing. There was a perceived need to know the material before they posted their discussion post in the to the response to the questions. For example, one participant said, "I need to read all of the PowerPoints and then I can engage in discussion." We also found there to be language barriers, especially in the local organizations. So with people that aren't used to working in English in their day-to-day work, they found then it was more difficult to fluently engage in the discussion online. We also found several organizational factors. Those included the field location of the staff projects. There was simply not internet in the rural areas where these people were working. We had several participants who had to respond to urgent measles epidemics, and so they were drawn away and were not able to participate. We also saw varying levels of leadership support depending on which organization the participants came from. Most were not allocated time to complete their coursework during their working hours, so they used their night times and weekends for the course. In some cases, if they weren't able to use internet at the office, then they had to use internet outside of the office, which in some cases represented a substantial cost and payment for these participants. So even if they wanted to participate in the discussion forums, they didn't do so because they said that they would have to pay a lot at the local internet cafe. We also saw differences in the organizational culture. At the international NGO level, we saw more of a culture of openness and sharing amongst colleagues, whereas in the government and more local organizations, we saw a more hierarchical nature of the organizational culture. So in conclusion, participants overwhelmingly had a very positive attitude about participating in the Global Learning Program, but we saw that this positive attitude didn't necessarily always match the resulting behavior in the online discussion. Operational issues such as internet time and organizational support were stated as barriers, but personal issues were also an important determinant of their successful engagement. One participant who was actually very successful in engaging said, "My friend, I want to tell you, distance learning needs strong commitment." So overall, and I just wanted to share some more of the quotes that we got from participants that reflect the overall value of the program to the participants. They said that online sharing can help remove the cultural barriers. A female participant in Ethiopia said, "In Ethiopia, most of us are shy, so the discussion board is very compatible to share your ideas or post your ideas." So this helped her to share her ideas without that face-to-face interaction that sometimes prevented her from feeling comfortable in voicing her opinions. All participants also stated that the online learning led to their capacity building and personal empowerment. One participant said, "Even now I have improved myself really much, much better than last year. I can prepare a better project." And another participant said, "Because of the Global Learning Program, I am so much confident in project cycle management. When you read, you develop confidence." So we saw not only this capacity building, but also their personal empowerment due to increased confidence after having completed the learning unit. So to reiterate, we've had great success with the program. Participants have stated that UNC's Global Learning Program provided practical management skills that have led to improved work performance, personal empowerment, and a cross-cultural solution to workforce capacity building. And that's all. Thank you. And Dr. Rohit Ramaswamy, the director of the Global Learning Program, and I will be happy to answer questions when we get to that point. Thank you.